Welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm your host, Claire Roth. Columbus has a thriving African population, but while Festival Latino and the Asian Festival have existed in the city for more than 20 years, we have yet to see a recurring event to celebrate the African continent here in Central Ohio. That changes this weekend. The Columbus African Festival takes place tomorrow at Innes Park. You can find more details about it on our website. Go to WOSU.org/allsides. And right now, one of its co-organizers, Barth Shepkong, joins me. Welcome to the program, Barth.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So before we get into the celebration and everything that it's going to entail, big picture, describe the African population here in Central Ohio for us.
I think the African population in Central Ohio is huge. I cannot give you a specific number, but I think it's in the hundreds of thousands. I think it's time to celebrate Africa with this huge population of people from the continent of Africa. And I think you made mention in your introduction about Latino Fest and Asian Festival. I think it's time. It's time for, you know, Africa to showcase her culture and to showcase her talents and also what it really means to be African.
Yeah, well, that is such a big question, though, right? I mean,
absolutely.
It's a huge continent. There's so many different cultures present. What sort of countries, what sort of performances, what will be on display tomorrow?
Yeah, we have people performing from different parts of the continent of Africa, just people from Sierra Leone, you know, Nigerian. We have poets from Nigeria and Zimbabwe, Ghana, you know, so people from all parts of the continent are going to be performing, which it's great. And that is one of the greatest things that or one of the things that makes the continent great because of the diverse way of doing things, you know. The culture is so unique, and all these cultures are going to be in display tomorrow.
If you had to, and of course you can be as specific or as broad as you like, but if you had to describe some of what people will see tomorrow, I know there's going to be music, there's going to be art. What sort of adjectives would you use to describe what people will experience?
I would say it's going to be fantastic. You know, it's going to be fantastically great, you know, seeing what will be in display tomorrow because, honestly, I'm lost for words. I cannot describe what will be in display tomorrow. But for lack of a better word, I'm going to say it will be fantastically great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also with us this hour is Ibrahima. So he's the recorder for the New African Immigrant Commission, which kind of got kicked off last year. They released their first report near the beginning of this year. Welcome, Ibrahima, to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So when we're talking about Central Ohio, we're talking about the African population here. What did you find about this area in your report?
So just a quick background. The Ohio New African Immigrants Commission was created by the state legislature back in 2008, but it didn't have anyone appointed to it until 2017, towards the end of Governor Kasich's term. And I was initially one of the six people appointed to it. And now that we're a full functioning commission, we set out to do a kind of a needs assessment, a report of kind of what the state or pulse of the African population is in Ohio. And what we were able to find from different data points that we know are heavily undercounted is that of the 88 counties in Ohio, about 23 have African immigrants living in them. And the top one, at least over a little over half of the African immigrant population live in Franklin County.
Wow.
And so it's a really, really populated county with a lot of different diversity. Over among the 14 different nationalities from Africa that you'll find in Franklin County, a good number of them live here. And that includes, obviously, the Somali population, the Nigerians, Ghanaians, which we know annually we have a Ghana picnic, the Senegalese, Sierra Leones. There's a huge Liberian community here. And so it's pretty diverse. And it speaks to just the amount of diverse cuisine that you'll find at any given street around the city. So, and I think that kind of speaks for itself.
Well, and you just named a lot of Western African countries. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing most West African countries here in Central Ohio, or do we have, you know, countries represented from Eastern Africa or Middle and Southern Africa as well?
No, absolutely. So there's also a huge Kenyan and Ethiopian population here, and so you'll have really a blend of all over the continent. There's some South Africans that live here. There's a booming Congolese refugee community. There's quite a few Moroccans and Egyptians, as well as Libyans. So it's every part of the continent really is reflected in some shape or form in Central Ohio. So it's fantastic. It's
no kidding.
Continent in a city.
Well, and that's going to be represented at the festival tomorrow, which I think is so exciting. And I think it's interesting, Barth, because your organization says that it wants to unite Africans from all cultures, regardless of religious denominations or social strata. And I'm curious what you think that connective tissue is. What connects people from, you know, just the huge list that Ibrahima just laid out for us?
Yeah, when you look at it, for me, I think one thing that connects us as Africans is... apart from coming from the continent, is you know, the culture, and also you look at what is going on right now, especially in the media world. You know, the music connects people. You know, it's something that whenever I hear an African music or a contemporary African music, it makes a lot of sense. You know, and you see everyone dancing to. They don't care if it's from Southern Africa or Western Africa or Eastern Africa or any part of the continent, you know. So for me, that is one of the things that really unites us, you know. And I think we can take advantage of that, you know, to look at other avenues that we can be able to unite each other.
Mm. Yeah. Ibrahima, how do you react to that sort of question?
So I would say, like the diversity is there, and so you'll see, for example, aside just the different variety of cuisines that you'll have, there's quite a few different diversities and different backgrounds that call Ohio home, and that includes probably the Apex One Radio for. A Cameroonian immigrant that came here, has an experience in journalism and started their own radio station, or the New American Magazine, which it was kickstarted by a journalist from Nigeria who came here and continued his passion. And so you'll have a lot of groundbreaking individuals that really exemplify what that integration looks like, but also what that blending of cultures are. And I think it is, like Dr. Barth said, high time that that is put on display with a festival that is just added on the city's calendar, really. So.
Yeah.
Well, and that's something that I wanted to talk to you about, Barth, is that kind of connection within the diaspora, because you also work with a group called The African that works to kind of build those relationships.
Absolutely.
No matter where someone's from in the continent, you know, building that relationship to other people, you know, in the African community here. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, we just realized that, you know, we need to come together as Africans, you know, to first of all discuss issues, and not just discussing issues, but also maybe try to come up with an action plan, you know, how we can help ourselves as young Africans, you know, Africans in the diaspora, because we need each other to grow, you know. So we did that, and what we do with the African is we engage in intellectual discourse, and sometimes it's very interesting. So we get very intellectual on issues pertaining to the continent of Africa. We just pick up a topic of conversation, and we debate on it. You know, the last time we talked about one of the issues we talked about was the idea of polygamy, if it is good for Africa or not. And it was an interesting conversation. So by doing that, actually, you get diversity of or diverse perspectives. And at the same time, you know, it unites people together. That was how I got to know a lot of people. That was how I met Ibrahima, so. At the same time, we realize that we have something in common, you know, thing that we have in common is passion for the continent of Africa, you know. So that is what the African does, and I think it's a good thing. that you see people from different parts of the continent coming with their own different ideas and perspective on how to we talk about change, but everyone has his own perspective on what the change should be.
In those discussions, what do you think are the most hotly debated issues? What is most prominent, you know, as you guys have these discussions month after month?
Polygamy one, and we talked about, I think one of for me that stood out was the idea that the debate we had about Africans versus African Americans. You know, it was an interesting conversation. It was an interesting discourse, and what are the dividing factors, you know, and what are also the things that makes us one? Are we really the same? You know, so you can imagine it was it's going to be an interesting conversation and also an emotional conversation. You know, there are some people that are saying, oh, you know, I don't consider myself this, and others are saying, okay, we are one, but. That was, and we deliberately chose that because after watching the movie Wakanda and
Black Panther, which really got at those issues.
So and we really dissect those the movie, and you know, it was very interesting to hear people's perspective.
And that's such a critical point because there are millions of Americans who have been separated from their heritage, from their ancestry because of slavery.
Absolutely.
And as you guys are working so hard to make sure that Africans in Columbus can celebrate their culture, do you think there's a remedy for that? Do you think that there's a way to build those bridges?
So I definitely think so. As this year we're celebrating 400 years of the history of slavery, and I think more prevalent that conversation is happening. And as we have the African immigrants that are now having children here, and we have a first, second generation that are in any sense African Americans, that this is their home. Albeit that they are multilingual at home, they have different cultures, but they are African Americans. And in the eyes of anyone outside of their home, they're no different than anyone else they may go to school with. I think that question of multicultural identity is definitely something that more people are paying attention to, more households are having the conversation with. And there's an entire generation that will tell you that they have no difference among their African-American friends as African immigrants. So in any other community, these conversations of identity happen as the diaspora continues to grow, as people continue to go to different places and call it home and really start to integrate. And so I think that will continue to happen. And so we're just happy to kind of kickstart that and make sure that, like the African does, that we're having those conversations in a platform that allows for intellectual debate to happen.
Yeah, and another thing that I just want to add a little bit to, based on that debate, and one of the things that I gathered, someone made an interesting point, and when we talk about slavery, we tend to forget about the impact of colonization on Africans too. So it's equally, we are also affected, you know, especially when it comes to colonization, you know, and I thought that was an interesting point, because a lot of Africans don't even realize, or a lot of African Americans don't also realize, that we also are affected by colonization. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to put that in there.
No, it's an important point. Yeah. We are talking about Columbus African communities this hour and the Columbus African Festival, which is taking place this weekend. If you are in that community and want to join the conversation, we'd love to have you. Give us a call at 614-292-8513. Right now we have Akin in Columbus on the line. Akin, what would you like to share today?
Happy to share. Thanks for having me on, first of all. But one, I'm extremely excited for the festival tomorrow. I think that Columbus has a unique place in that, even for having a large African population, it has one of the most diverse, in my opinion. And I think that it's a great reflection or a great opportunity for people of all cultures to come and experience a wide breadth of what African culture looks like, a good variety. And in addition to that, it's just perhaps a note as to where Columbus is going and growing, even as a city. I think that Columbus is an attractive city because, you know, despite being, you know, a city in the Midwest, it also has a bit amount of cultural diversity. And I think that when you move here, having been somebody who moved here fairly recently as well, it makes it, you know, really puts a smile on your face. It puts a level of comfort knowing that, hey, if this is a place that's accepting of multiple different types of people, I, as a new person, will also be accepted here.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Akin. We really appreciate that. What do you feel are the biggest challenges that the community is facing here in Columbus, given that it is a really great place to be, you know, as an African immigrant? Oh, we, I think, lost him off the line, unfortunately, but I'll give you that question, Ibrahima.
Yeah, that's true. So just really echoing what Akin said, Columbus is home to a lot of African immigrants that have probably started out in places like New York and D.C. and really moved to Columbus because, one, of its great African diversity, right? It's more populous, it has more job opportunities, and it's more of a kind of settled with your family type feel rather than a bustling city that you're going to transit through. And so that is why a lot of more Africans are calling it home. And so just to really echo what he's saying, I think it's definitely true that we are one of the most luckiest cities in the country because of the amount of African diversity that we have. And that allows also for a lot of immigrants to integrate into different industries and really take hold of things that they do best, which is whether they're teachers, academics, medical professionals, people in academia. So it's an amazing place to be if you're an African immigrant, I believe.
Yeah, I can say that because moving from Chicago, you know.
A little bit busier, a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, it was difficult for me to move, actually. Yeah, but moving to Columbus, I realized that, you know, there's this sense of community compared to places like the bigger cities like Chicago and places like New York. But it's great being here, and it's great to see the diversity of cultures in a small city like Columbus, even though it's growing, you know, by the day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Barth Shepkong is the co-organizer of the Columbus African Festival, which is taking place this weekend. You can find out more about that at our website, wosu.org/allsides. Barth is staying with us, as is Ibrahima. So we are going to be back in just a few minutes with more All Sides Weekend. Stay with us here on 89.7. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Claire Roth. We just heard a little bit of Idhan Nuntan, or You and Me, by 224 Nation. The duo, Columbus-based with Guinea roots, is one of a number of acts playing at tomorrow's Columbus African Festival in Innes Park. Find out more information about that on our website at wosu.org/allsides. This hour, we are talking all about African communities here in Central Ohio. If you're part of that group, we would love to hear from you. How do you celebrate your culture here? What's the strongest part of that community in your view? You can call us at 614-292-8513. Still with us this hour is the co-creator of the festival, Barth Shepkong. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And the recorder for Ohio's new African Immigrant Commission, Ibrahima. So thank you, Ibrahima.
Absolutely, Claire.
So how have communities here in Columbus or in Ohio waxed and waned over the years? Are we seeing more immigrants, more Africans here in Columbus?
Oh, yeah. So over the past, from the census data that we were able to create, comb over for the report that we had last year, I think we were able to find an increasing uptick in especially the African immigrants that are moving from other cities to Columbus, into kind of Ohio in general, but Columbus specifically. And so we were also able to kind of see a pattern of increasing population, both in Dayton, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, as well as a little bit in Toledo. And so there's a lot of people are continuing to move to Ohio from other places, and also because of refugee resettlements. Now we went from 3 to 2 resettlement agencies in Central Ohio, but we've also seen a good number of especially Congolese refugees being resettled in Central Ohio. And so the number just keep going up. And so I think that's kind of why a commission like ours continues to be important and relevant, because there has to be more than just a welcome sign with you have a 90-day resettlement agency plan in place for immigrants that are really resettling for the first time.
Sure. We talked about the robustness of the community here and the diversity of it with Akin just a few minutes ago. But I'm wondering what else about Columbus specifically makes it a desirable place to move to. Obviously, some people that are resettled do not have a choice, but a lot of people are moving here by choice as well. And we've got bigger numbers than Cleveland or Cincinnati. Any idea on why that might be?
So I think, and maybe Dr. Barth can weigh in, but from what I've seen and from my own personal experience, I think my family came here because there was either a family member or another person from our community that was already here. And so it was easier to resettle because of that connection. And also because where people move to, there are usually jobs that they can take up. And so that quite a number of different factors play into how people are continuing to call Columbus home. And I think that opportunity still exists. It's still here.
Yeah, I think it's partly because of you have either a family member or a relation or a friend that is here, which makes it very easy for you to settle. In my own case, actually, It's funny because I really didn't want to leave Chicago, but when I was thinking of getting married, my wife was in Columbus and she didn't want to move to Chicago.
So she won that fight.
Yeah, so she won the fight, and I happened to live the busy life of Chicago and the beautiful city of Chicago. I'm not saying that Columbus is not beautiful. I mean, compared to
near Chicago for 4 years. I understand it's a lure. We don't have a big lake here.
Yeah, so but on a serious note, it's easier for people to settle when you have family members versus, you know, going to, and again, the cost of living, you know, and that was one of the reasons why I really considered moving to Columbus, because I did the cost benefit analysis and I realized Columbus is a place to be, you know, so that is one of the factors also.
Of course, we have lots of jobs here. We've got the government and we have Ohio State, and so many immigrants from Africa are coming, you know, working in the academy. And so that makes a difference as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I want to bring in a new guest, Naki Akrobeto. She is a Columbus-based poet who writes about a variety of topics, including her Ghanaian heritage. Naki, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on. So you'll be presenting at the festival this weekend. Tell us a little bit about your performance.
So I'm still trying to sort it out in my mind. I'm just, as a creative, sometimes you sit there and you tarry over, like, okay, what's the process? What are you going to say? How are you going to put your set together? And I think I'm still doing that because it's been a very long time since I've been on the stage. And this is something that is really important for me to do because I have a new found understanding of my purpose and my power as a creative, as an artist, and particularly in the African community.
Really?
So I'm a little unique where, like, both of my parents aren't from Africa. My mother's from West Virginia, Appalachian Mountains, and my father's from Ghana, West Africa. So I'm literally like this bridge that's bringing together two different cultures. And it's always been that way in my life growing up, wanting to, you know, merge the African American community and the African community together. And I really feel like that's what my job is to do, being a part of the African.
How do you feel you accomplished that? I mean, how do you go about, that's a huge task. How do you go about that?
Yes. Well, I'm going to use my mouthpiece as one. I've been told that I have the gatherer's anointing, which it's the ability to navigate spaces, infiltrate it, and then build relationships. I know this person over here. I know this person over here. Let's get us all at the same table. And then once we do, the connection is made. My job is done. Mm. And I can just sit back and allow it to flourish. And so that's really what I aspire to do with the African. So I've been a part of an arts group called the Maroon Arts Group, which is, I don't want to say it's an African-American, but it was a group of friends who started they didn't even intend to start an organization. They just wanted to bring a play here to Columbus that was very controversial for the African-American community. And from that, it evolved into something bigger. And I really believe that's the same thing that's happening with the African. And let's merge. We're all in the same circles. We know some of the same people. So I'm like, let's get us all on the same board and, you know, doing this together. Because you go further when you're together. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think it's long past the time of us trying to do it as individuals or separate, or this tribe or this ethnic group or this organization here. It's like, why can't we put our grievances aside or whatever we want and like see the bigger vision, which is we want to be united.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. We just want to be united.
Well, and that's part of what your festival is hoping to accomplish,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It takes a village, as they always say. And you cannot just, if you want to, you know, if you want to succeed, you really have to do it together, mm-hmm. you know, because of the diversity of talents, the diversity of knowledge and everything, you know, no one has a monopoly of knowledge. And, one person cannot just unite the entire continent. No, it will take a huge number of people. It will take Ibrahima, it will take Nike, it will take myself and everyone, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, even though we have our differences, it's not that we don't. We have our differences.
Ghana Jolt is better.
Yeah. You know, we talk about, you know, there we go. All right. There we go. You know, I was told that actually Sierra Leonean jollof is the best. Ah, you know,
jollof is a rice dish for listeners that might not know. I've only had one version of it, so I cannot. You know, my friend Adora, who is Ugandan American, made it, and so I know it's Western African typically, but she made it for me, and I don't know. I haven't had any other version, but apparently I've been told that the Ghanaian version is the best. So that's good to know. Now,
well, a couple of weeks ago, I was told that the Tanzanian jollof is the best. Mm. So it depends on who you talk to.
Depends on who you know.
It's also based on your interpretation.
Absolutely.
I mean, it does come from Senegal.
That's funny.
But I think at the festival, though, that's somewhere where that opportunity to sample and really
beautiful.
Test for yourself. Which one is better?
No, we don't want
or original.
We don't want to do a jollof rice contest. What we want to do is a spicy food contest.
Oh, Nigerians would win hands down.
So this is some of what you can experience at the festival tomorrow.
Absolutely.
But we love each other.
Yeah, there
we
you
love
go. Each other. Well, and I want to play just a little bit of your poetry. Okay. Here is a snippet that we have of Protect My Brown.
The skin that I am in has a warrant out for my arrest. Color-coded fill me in with hopes of death. A life sentenced by stray intentional bullets, my thick lips, full breast, and brilliant brains on target. My demise at the grip of the most bluest eyes, my melanin-sprinkled DNA melts away tears that make the cone of my sweet shell soggy and dilapidated. One day I will be remembered by the media as the Negro woman, lost at trembling fingers locked on triggers of their own insecurities. A white, not so clean slate.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Wow. What do you feel that art can do in this space that you're talking about, in the connection and in promoting this culture so that more folks can understand it? What can art accomplish that other mediums can't?
Nina Simone said it best, that it is up to us as artists to write about our times and the things that are going on. You know, we're scribes, we are curators, we document what we see, what we witness, what we hear. And I think for so long, for me particularly, I was just so bogged down with the heaviness and the spirit and the negativity in this country that I didn't even want to be here. Mm. I really wanted to move back to Ghana, not even knowing really what that would entail in itself. But I'm here, and I'm here for a purpose and for a reason. And so, you know, I have this gift. I'm going to use it. You know, being an educator for 3 years, I've been able to, you know, empower young people. Use your mouth, you know, don't just use it to like negatively tear people down, but use it to build up a community, build yourself up, you know, vision, dream, whatever you aspire to do, you speak those things into existence, and that's power. And so that's what I aspire to do, is using writing, spoken word as a tool to really build the community.
Wow. We are talking about Columbus African Festival, takes place tomorrow. Find more details about it on our website at WOSU.org. And if you would like to join the conversation, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Right now, we have Moses from Columbus. Moses, what's on your mind?
Well, hi, everyone. And I've been here from 2000. I actually know Nakishima. I remember me.
Hi, Moses.
I'm a recording artist. Mm-hmm. And NPR, actually, you guys have my album there, been playing. I was one of the few people that used to perform for the Columbus Culture Fest. So when I moved here, it was something like this was coming in my mind. But to find the right people, you know, to help you to push it, it was kind of difficult. And there was no way you can think that when we'll us as African will have the opportunity, you know, to come together. So I really want to thank these guys in the studio for this work that they have done. I'm really, really impressed, you know, for this job. And unfortunately that, you know, it's something that I had wanted to see. Few of us Africans started it way back, but we didn't succeed. Mm-hmm. Most of the guys, they move out, and I was the few one that stay here, and I forget about it and doing other things with family. So now these guys have come up with this idea. I'm really impressed, and I want to thank them for that. And also, I'd love to see them tomorrow there. But also, the most thing that we need to work on as Africans, most of our youngsters, our kids are going astray. A lot of them getting in trouble, being in prison. Mm-hmm. So the next time I meet with these guys, I would love us to work on these things and see how we can help these young youth integrate into society and stay out of trouble, because we know that's not the African way.
Absolutely.
You know, and this is not only Africans, also with African-Americans, how we can help these youth get out of trouble.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Moses. We really appreciate that comment. And I'm wondering if you agree, if you think that Columbus has come a long way when it comes to this sort of representation, when it comes to this sort of, I guess, banding together, as you guys have been talking about.
I mean, me personally, just my father being so ingrained in the Columbus community and being a part of a lot of African organizations, I don't want to knock the elders, because I think they've done a great job. They've done what they had the capacity to do. But I think the missing link is they always never incorporated the youth, us.
Absolutely.
And so it is up to us to take the charge, to take the mantle that they started, and to make that grow. Mm. So if I think of, I've been having dreams lately of Kwame Nkrumah. They killed him, right? But they didn't kill his seed or his vision. It's still coming to pass. And so for me, it's uniting with Bart. It's uniting with Ibrahim. It's uniting and coming together and saying, hey, we are all passionate about something related to Africa. Why can't we all come together and make it happen? And I really appreciate Moses speaking about the children, because it is the youth. When you go to different organizations, so particularly in Ghana, here in Columbus, you have the Ga Adungbe, the Asante Men Association. They don't bring the children. Why is that? They leave them at home. Why is that? Mm. They're starting to change that and get them more involved. But me being a young person and being an educator, I want the young kids to be, because they're the ones that have to carry this on. And so we want them to feel, you know, empowered to embrace their culture. You're not, you are here being raised in America, but you're not just American. It's not just the American way.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, and I would add to beautifully put Tanaki's point, that one of the three core objectives of the African Immigrants Commission is to really advocate, connect, and impact. And so I think there is to the elders that have been here, that were smaller in number, that were not really fully aware of what the opportunity or potential were. I think there's an opportunity now to where there is a generation that really understands how the U.S. works, how how to be better engaged, and really, and that has allowed for us to be able to really reach to that potential and be able to put this African festival together. Because I think now there's, as we increase in number, there's broader networks and collaborations that we're able to put together. And that includes making sure that African immigrant communities are not no longer in silos, right? That you, as just because you speak the same language as someone, that you're not completely on the Northwest, Northland area of Columbus or far east of Columbus. Now, there's a interconnectedness in that Pan-African sense that really the community is feeling. And so I think there's a generation that is willing to take advantage of that and really really have that common goal of bringing the community together. And so I think that's what makes it a good opportunity to kickstart it this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think going back to Nike's point, I also appreciate the fact that you brought in the youth, because you know, I teach cultural diversity at Central Ohio Technical College, you know, and sometimes when I see these African kids, I find it difficult to understand, but at the same time, I try to understand where they're coming from, because their parents, most of the time, maybe they don't have the time to kind of talk to them about their roots. A lot of them don't know anything about the continent of Africa. So I think this event is also an opportunity for us to, you know, educate, especially the youth. You know, I want my son to grow up knowing that, okay, I'm not just an American, I'm a Nigerian American, and what it means to be a Nigerian American. You know, so I make a conscious effort at home, even though he's little, I make a conscious effort to at least try to speak to him in one of the native languages. You know, but this is part of the things that I think I agree. We don't have to knock the elders. They've made their mistakes, but they're also great. Mm-hmm. You know, they did what they had to do, but it is on us now to instill, you know, some of these core values on the next generation. So,
thank you. So much.
But I'd add to just briefly that cultural alignment for younger generations is that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I think the also to keep in mind that there are the same issues that affect any other community in the U.S.
Yeah.
is the same thing where you have kids growing up where parents are working constantly, and usually those collection of factors allow for some things to happen.
Absolutely.
And so it's not really anyone's fault. Mm-hmm. It's how the culture is.
Yeah.
And it's for us to be able to identify what the barriers are to making households more successful. Absolutely. In dealing with that, including language barrier, including workforce development and skills and things like that.
Yeah.
So just to add that.
Ibrahim Asso is staying with us for the next segment of All Sides Weekend. We are talking about Columbus African Communities and the Columbus African Festival, which is taking place this weekend in Innes Park. Find out more details about that at WOSU.org/allsides. Also staying with us, Barth Shepkong, one of the co-organizers of that event, and poet Naki Akrobeto, who is going to be performing at it. Stay with us. We're going to come back with more All Sides Weekend in just a few moments on 89.7.
Don't believe in nothing but the Almighty. Just a little jeans and a pure whitey. She never dreamed forever be nobody wifey. Yeah. She wanna me not pretty, but your heart is a mess. Play you like a villain, cause she caught in a way. Tonight, I am walking away. 9 to 5, mine and I grind, Tonight, I might fall in love. Depending on how you hold me. I'm glad that I'm calming down. Can't let no one come control me. Keep dancing.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Claire Roth. We just heard a bit of Nigerian pop star Wizkid. It's off of Beyonce's new album, track called Brown Skin Girl. The Gift came out in conjunction with The Lion King last month, and Beyonce called it her love letter to Africa. Almost every song features a different musician from the continent. And this hour, we're talking about a celebration of all things African with the Columbus African Festival tomorrow at Innes Park. Find out more details about it on our website at wosu.org/allsides. Still with me, Naki Akrobeto, a poet who's performing at the festival, as well as Ibrahima So, the recorder for the state's new African Immigrant Commission, and one of the festival's co-organizers, Barth Shepkong. You know, this album is obviously just one part of the larger puzzle, but are we seeing better or at least broader representation of the continent in U.S. culture?
Yeah, I think so. I was listening to Burna Boy, one of the Nigerian artists that just got an award during the BET event, and he was asked a question about, he was all over the place. And I must tell you, as an African or as a Nigerian, I was really, really impressed, and I was really proud. So for me, African music is here to stay, you know, and I find it very happy, or I'm most of the time happy to see or to see people dance to African music. You know, I think 20 years ago, I don't think that's the case, you know, but right now they've gone places, you know. And when you talk about the African music, a lot of people, like for me, who happens to be a Fela person, you know, a lot of them are taking the, or should I say, they are reaping the fruit of Fela Kuti, you know, and because actually he is the creator of Afrobeat,
yeah,
you know,
a style of music originated in Nigeria.
Yeah, so it's very interesting to see, you know, the different combination. Sometimes you get confused, you know, you hear about Afrobeat and Afrobeats, and
what's
the difference? But yeah, High Life is a very beautiful music too, which also I think you have a form of High Life in Ghana, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm very impressed and about African music, and I think it has come to stay, and a lot of people are beginning to appreciate. You know, it's not just the rhythm, but also you pay attention to the message. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you know, there are some that are not that good, but you know, when you pay attention to the message, you realize that these things are making a lot of sense.
Mm. So, we were talking earlier about youth versus elders, kind of some of the generational divides. But I also wanted to talk about the concept of first generation and second generation. I mean, you have spoken to that about being, you know, this product of two different worlds and hoping to be that bridge. But I'm assuming that the experiences of a second generation immigrant or third or beyond are very different from someone who comes here, you know, from another country during their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Is that your experience, Naki?
It is, and then it isn't. I mean, I've looked at my life compared to my father's, and I'm just like, I am my father's child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came here when he was older. He was 27. He had two children back home in Ghana. And I just think, I'm always amazed when I hear stories of elders who have had to leave family behind to come here. And what that was like, you know, my dad coming here and then within 6 months, his father passing. And because he didn't have his papers or he wasn't legally able to travel back home, he wasn't able to bury his father. You know, the hardships and the adversities that they were able to overcome, it's a testament to my strength and how I've been able to overcome some things. I think the only challenge for me is that I feel like being a second generation born, my father intentionally did not speak the language to me because he wanted me to be able to navigate American culture. And I don't want to say like blend in, but not be ostracized or ridiculed because of the accent. And now I feel like I lack something because I don't speak the language. Mm. So there's things that like they had good intentions, but he's challenged me now. Like, you know, if you really want to learn the language, then you'll learn it. And now I'm like, okay, I have an idea to start an African online language school. You know what I mean? There's so many languages not being represented in the world from the continent. And they're right here. There's plenty of people to teach them.
Yeah.
You know, why does Rosetta Stone only have Swahili? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
that's
the point.
It doesn't make sense to me. So I said, and where I'm at in my life, I want to employ my father. You're retired. You can teach Gan, Krobo, Chi. You can teach all of these different languages. You know, Hausa. You know, there's so many different languages from all of our countries that can be represented. And I really believe that's the way forward. When you teach the language, you teach the culture.
Absolutely.
And people who want to travel there, they now go with more awareness, less ignorance, and understanding. And it's empowering, mm-hmm. you know, so you don't feel left out or somebody's talking about you or excluded. But it's because you intentionally want to know the basis of the language to how to communicate with the people, how to connect.
And it's also one of the biggest signs of respect, I feel like, to try to learn a language because it says, I am going to try to meet you where you are at. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're visiting a country. Because you were there to learn the culture, hopefully. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been floating a lot of ideas this hour, but I don't want to miss any. You know, you talked about language proficiency, programs around that. What else do you guys want to see in this area? What are the next steps? What's next?
Mental health.
Yeah, another thing that, I agree, mental health is another thing that is a taboo in the African community that we don't talk about. So in one of our meetups, and we talked about mental health in the African community, a lot of the time, you know, and first of all, people don't really want to accept that that is a problem. And even if they accept that is a problem, they don't really want to seek professional help. They would rather go to, you know, seek spiritual help, which these are two different things, you know. So moving forward, I think mental health is a big issue in the African community that we really need to look into. And we're just talking about, you know, the idea of having an African house in the future, you know, because we're talking about youth mentoring and all that. I mean, it would be great to have, like, African house in Columbus, Ohio, where we can, you know, people can meet and discuss issues relating to the continent of Africa and maybe be able to influence policies in the continent of Africa, you know.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. We are the leaders.
We are.
But this time they won't kill us.
No. You know, so, and Obasanjo said one thing, you know, the former president of Nigeria.
I'm a revolutionary. You know, I'm sorry.
You know, the former, I don't really want to go into politics, but the former president of Nigeria.
We only have two more minutes, so honestly.
All right, let me just say it. When the Nigerian youths back in Nigeria were busy complaining about, these old cargoes, they don't want to let us get into power, he said, we're not going to give it to you. You have to come get it from us. Mm. You know, so the truth of the matter is we have to take the mantle. When we sit down, it's not going to work.
Absolutely.
So we need to get up and do something.
Absolutely. Ibrahima, your council is obviously working in 1,000 different directions, but what are priorities for you as you look to the future, as you're trying to serve all of these Africans that are in Ohio? You know, what do you see as the most important?
Very true. So as we know, the commission is at least 10 years old. In the last probably 3 years that it's been functioning, we're still trying to get the respect from the state as far as funding for a state agency like this African Commission. It has not gotten that funding yet, but one of a few things from a listening tours around the state that we've gotten that people want us to work on is that issue of language barrier. That's definitely an issue that we want to be able to focus on, including health education, as well as cultural awareness, which definitely this African festival does, as well as workforce and skills training, because we know a lot of people are stuck where they are because either they have a foreign degree that can be translated or they need to be able to get skills to grow. And that's where we really want to be able to meet people where they are and make sure that they grow. So,
Ibrahima, so thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much, Claire.
So is the recorder for the New African Immigrant Council, Naki Akrobeto. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
A Ghanaian American poet who's performing tomorrow at the Columbus African Festival. And Barth Shepkong, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
One of the co-organizers of that festival. Find out more information about it on our website at WOSU.org/AllSides. The All Sides staff includes producer Mary Lee Williams and assistant producer Kyle McKinnon. Special thanks today to Adora Namika Day. This is 89.7 NPR News.